Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at RocketMortgage.com/HamNation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 341 for March 7th, 2018. We congratulate Ham of the Year, Valerie, in V9L. Hello, everybody. It's Bob Heil. Welcome. You're watching Ham Nation. This is a podcast about ham radio, and we have some really exciting things tonight. And we got great people to bring that to us. One of them is Don Wilbanks. Don, how you doing down there in near the bottom of Mississippi?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Life is throwing me a couple of challenges with my car, but other than that, I think I'm doing just fine. Oh, and somebody else that's doing just fine is WTWW. Of course, we bring you the pictures here on Twit, but WTWW brings you the Ham Nation audio, and they are back now at full power and on the big rhombic antenna. And, of course, after Ham Nation, it's requests and dedications. You can email them with that, comments, or anything else that's ham radio related. It's a real easy email address. Email at WTWW.us. Program note on WTWW, the Oak Ridge Boys will be on Friday night live. And Ted Randall's going to try to get at least one of them into ham radio. So that will be interesting to listen to. Also, we'll return with me on the second Tuesday of the month. Coming up, too, when we get back into that cycle. So big things happening at WTWW. Big things happening tonight on Ham Nation, too. Bob, back to you.
Okay, Saturday night on the WTWW, we fire up the theater organ at 8 o'clock. So check in on that. George, how are you doing? Everything okay in Upper Mississippi?
Yeah, actually, I'm in the middle part of the state, but it is upper compared to Don. Yeah. You know, I was going to have something to go here tonight, and one of the transmitters decided that, no, I would not be able to do that this week. Amanda won't be with us tonight. She's feeling a little under the weather, so I don't have the pink headphones, but I'm going to try to fill in and get some questions out of the chat room tonight.
You are going to be chat room lady man, right?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. How provocative. Like,
okay. Well, then I want to introduce everybody to the queen of amateur radio, and that's Valerie NV9L. Hi, Valerie. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Got little DX tonight. We're also going to talk about I had Spratly guys were supposed to be on with me tonight, but unfortunately their flight was delayed, so they're in the air right now or maybe just about to land. So I'm kind of ad-libbing with some other stuff, so I'll be getting to that later on in the segment.
Well, I'll fill in a couple of minutes for you, Val, and bring everybody that's watching tonight and listening on the podcast. I got a note today from the Hamvention, and they are telling us that the ham radio operator of the year is none other than Valerie NV9L. Congratulations, woo-hoo! My friend.
Thank you, guys. I can't even believe I was nominated, let alone win that. You know, I'm just blown away. I still have to pinch myself. So, pretty cool.
There are a few of us out here that know people, and we know how hard you work, not only here, but I mean, this is just a little piece of what you do now. And let's see, George, you received that award a couple years ago, right?
Well, it wasn't Ham of the Year. Mine was one of the Special Achievement Awards. I don't even remember what year that was now, but it was certainly a great honor. And Valerie, well deserved.
Thank you. And yeah. I think Gordo also had it. So it's making the rounds. Hopefully one of you guys will get on there next year. We'll just keep it going, get a streak going.
Yeah. I was the Ham of the Year 1982.
Talk about
an old
man.
And I got it a couple years after Barry Goldwater got it. It's like, I can't believe this is happening. But
yeah, I'm following a Nobel Prize laureate. I'm like blown away. Joe Taylor. So
well, very deserved. I have a whole sheet of things about what you do, and I want everybody to check it out, because she's really gone way beyond. I remember finding her in the chat room, and she was shy and she wouldn't come on. But then we got her on, and finally, bingo, she opened up to the world. And we're so thrilled and very honored to have you with us, because you are the queen of DX. I don't think anybody will deny that you are not, because you really are there, and you're a pilot for many of the expeditions. And there it is right there. Copy this down. Do a screenshot, everybody. That'll give you all of the information about Amateur Radio of the Year from the ARRL. And it's the announcement from Hamvention. So we're really happy about that. And, of course, it can't go without telling about your achievement in Puerto Rico. Holy smokes. I mean, you almost put your life on the line for that one. And you did it and did a great thing for a lot of people. And that was just really super. So congratulations, and we appreciate your efforts so very much, and we're glad to have you here always.
Yeah. Thank you, and thanks everyone in the chat room who's given me all those congrats. I really appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate all that you do for Ham Radio. That's for darn sure. I also need to mention also the Club of the Year is the Portage County Amateur Radio Service. That's PCARS in Ravinia, Ohio. And they're the Club of the Year. They do a lot of things. I hear about them quite often. They average more than 40 hours of club activities each month. And they do all kinds of things. One of the things I love is that they have a what they call build days. And they all come and build things. You know I like those things. And they have another thing called Get on the Air Day, where the members and non-members can use the club site equipment and learn about HF and lay their handy talkies down and get into real radio. So, PCARS, congratulations. You guys work hard, and I know you do it. The Technical Achievement Award, while we're going down the list here, is Chip Cohen. That's W1YW. And he's been licensed for 52 years, and he's an astronomer. And he's worked on Arecibo, and he does a lot of things with the National Radio Astronomy Observation. And he's quite a guy. He's got 41 patents to his name, and Mr. Cohen is quite the guy. And these are all top DX guys, too. He's in the top of the honor roll, and just goes on and on. This Special Achievement Award went to Gilberto Perez, KK4DCX, and Victor Torres, WP4SD, and Emilio Ortez, that's WB4KEY. And those guys are all there because of the Hurricane Maria and all of the things they did for Puerto Rico. And so, yes, these are people that really work hard, and they deserve these special awards. So I wanted to bring that up. Thanks for putting that on the screen earlier. I really appreciate that, Victor. So we'll move on here. We got a lot of things to get to, but I just had to let everybody know about Valerie. Don, what do you got down there for us? I bet you got some interesting stuff.
We've got Amateur Radio Newsline, the Ham Nation headlines. We'll have a report from Dr. Scoville. But first, I want to tell you that coming up on Saturday, March 10th, from 1 until 7 Eastern Time, members of the American Legion Amateur Radio Club, that's TALARC, will operate a special event station. The club call K9TAL. And anybody who wants to contact the station is eligible to get a nice QSL card and a certificate. They're going to be on 40 meters around 7225, 20 meters around 14275, IRLP reflector 9735, Echolink, the Crossroads conference node, accessible in a local repeater in Indianapolis, the 147315. And it's just a cool thing. K9TAL, if you go on online and look that up, the American Legion Amateur Radio Club, find out about this special event. It's going to be a very cool thing, and we wanted to pass that along. So very, very good stuff. Right now, why don't we get into the news of the week, and we'll hear from Dr. Scove with Amateur Radio Newsline. Newsline report number 2105. These are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, March 7th, 2018. We begin this week with an update on plans to activate Bouvet Island. There's speculation this adventure could become an even bigger team effort.
In the spirit of cooperation so characteristic of amateur radio, the organisers of the 3Y0Y Bouvet Island expedition have extended an invitation to the team members from the recently scrapped 3Y0Z Bouvet expedition to operate together from the coveted DX location. The Polish-led team issued a statement in late February saying, quote, "We are fully aware and full of sympathy of their disappointment," end quote. The team said it believes the shared operation will not only keep costs down for both teams, but provide more opportunity to the global ham community. Although there has not yet been any response from the 3Y0Z team, it should be noted that their radio equipment remains in storage in South Africa. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
Another DX adventure awaits, this one specifically for young amateurs. It's in Curaçao, and the window to accept applications is getting ready to close.
If you're a young amateur with your sights set on the big DX this summer, you have a few more days to apply for acceptance to this year's Dave Coulter Memorial Youth DX Adventure. The destination this year is the PJ2T contest site in Curaçao. Three young amateurs between the ages of 12 and 17 will be accepted for the trip. They're to be accompanied by a parent or legal guardian who needn't be a licensed ham. All participants should have a valid passport and be a U.S. resident. The purpose of the trip is to teach young operators the best way to handle pileups, to learn how to optimize gray line propagation, and, of course, to work as much DX as possible. This year's trip will take place July 19th through the 24th. Application deadline is Saturday, March 17th. A downloadable application form is available at qsl.net/n6jrl. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
Are you heading to Hamvention this year? The organizers have a new way to stay in touch and plan for the trip.
The Dayton Hamvention has added yet another way to communicate the more time-sensitive types of information, text alerts. According to hamvention.org, hams can sign up for text alerts from the official Hamvention staff and National Weather Service severe weather watches and warnings. To sign up for the text alert service, text Hamvention 18, that's Hamvention 18 with no spaces, to 888-777. Once again, that's Hamvention 18 to the text number 888-777. Once you successfully sign up, you'll receive a confirmation text welcoming you to the service. When I signed up a few days ago, 123 people had already registered. There's no charge for the service, but as always, message and data rates may apply depending on your cell phone plan. Counting down the days until Hamvention, this is Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline.
A reminder that the 2018 nominating period for the Bill Pasternak WA6ITF Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award is now open. You'll find full information and the nominating form on our website, www.arnewsline.org. Just look at the top under the YHOTY tab. For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
An old active region rotates into Earth view and fizzles while the sun launches three new solar storms. What are the Earth impacts? Those stories and more in the news this week. Solar activity both fizzles and picks up this week. We had high hopes for region 2699, which was rotating back into Earth view from the backside. This region did perform very well on the backside, but as soon as it got into Earth view, it actually started fizzling out and dying. In fact, it's no longer even considered an active region. It's a plage. So this means you poor amateur radio operators and emergency responders, you were expecting a boost in the solar flux. That has not happened. That means radio propagation is still in poor conditions and will continue to be so all this week. Now, the only good news is that the sun has actually launched three solar storms, one in the north, one in the south, and one here at center disk. The one at center disk was actually a filament eruption, and it is Earth-directed. It's not much in of itself, but we also have this big coronal hole. It's kind of a closing remnant coronal hole, but that should actually give it a little bit of a kick and potentially give us some decent storm conditions here, maybe on the 9th or around the 10th. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are anticipating the hit from that mini solar storm, that filament eruption that launched towards Earth, along with some fast wind from a remnant coronal hole, and we could see some disturbances as early as the 9th. At high latitudes, NOAA is expecting minor storm conditions without about a 45% chance of a major storm. At mid-latitudes, we're still only expecting unsettled conditions with about a 10% chance of a minor storm, which means we could reach active conditions probably pretty easily, but they just won't last all that long. So your aurora photographers, you better stay on your toes. Switching to our solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, everything is in the green when it comes to solar flares. And as we mentioned, region 2699 was a complete fizzle. We are now dealing with a spotless sun. So you poor amateur radio operators and emergency responders, the solar flux is still low and you're still suffering with poor radio propagation conditions. And it looks like this will continue easily through the week. You might get a small boost when it comes to that solar storm hitting. But outside of that, it looks like you're going to be suffering for a little bit longer. So we have some good news and some not so good news in space weather this week. On the good news side, we do have an Earth-directed mini solar storm that's being followed by a small pocket of fast wind. And these combined might be able to bump us up to storm levels. So your aurora photographers, this should perk you up, especially at high latitudes. We might even get a little bit of a show at mid-latitudes, but you'll have to be on your toes. Now, on the not-so-good news side, region 2699 that we was so hopeful about to bump up amateur radio propagation, it has completely fizzled. So we're still sitting in poor conditions for radio propagation this week, and it looks like it's going to continue to stay that way with a spotless sun. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Thank you, Dr. T. If you don't follow her on Twitter, you really, really should, because she will give you almost up to the second information as it comes out. I don't know when the woman sleeps, because she's on there at all hours of the day and night, at Tamitha Scove on Twitter. You should really, really follow her. I want to tell you about Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Everybody has a mortgage, or you're going to need a mortgage, or you had a mortgage, or you're probably going to get another one. And the mortgage experience, if you can call it that, normally it's not a good experience. But either way, the mortgage experience simply was not keeping up with the times. It was dated. It needed a client-focused technological revolution. It needed a makeover is what it needed. And that's why Quicken Loans did the makeover and created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying your home, refinancing your existing home loan. It's very simple. allows you to fully understand all the details of your mortgage and be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. And that is everything. It's ultra convenient. They have trusted partners, allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. It's that easy. It's also very powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. And based on your income, assets, and credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all the home loan options that you qualify for and find the one that is perfect for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. To get started, just simply go to rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. That's rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. Rocket Mortgage is an equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. And Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, we thank you for your support of Ham Nation. Now, back over to Bob, Dr. Bob Heil on Ham Nation.
I thank you. Very good. Yes. You got, if you don't follow Dr. Tamitha, you just don't know what's happening. Let me tell you, it's really something. Well, we've got a really special guest with a lot of good things tonight from Lake Havasu. And it's my good friend. We've known each other a long time, and we met kind of on the air. Gary is K9WZB. Gary, are you here with us?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Well, we're good. I really appreciate you putting all this together because you have a lot of things going on down there. And why don't you tell us a few things, and then we'll get into putting some of the slides up there, Gary. It's really good to see you. What's happening down in the lake coming up?
Well, it's an honor to be here tonight, to be on Ham Nation. I've watched it many times, and to actually be on it, it's even more fun, I guess. So it's a pleasure to be with you here, Bob. And actually, I met you in Dayton many, many, many years ago when you were just starting off. So, but you probably didn't remember that. Anyway, we're in a big month here in Lake Havasu. We have one of the first events was the proclamation signed by the mayor making Lake Havasu City Amateur Radio Month for the month of March, and that started it all off on March 1st.
My goodness, that's great! And you you sent along some pictures of your club, and I want to have Victor bring those up and we'll go through them. And you can tell us what's going on in some of these, Gary.
Well, here we got on the 3rd of March this year, just last week. Seems like it's been a year ago. Anyway, we had what we called our Ham Shack Forum. And this is one of the shots of Tom, one of our members and also a board member, one of our big assets, because he takes care of all of our repeaters. And I have to say, Lake Havasu probably has one of the best repeater systems in the state of Arizona.
Very good.
And here we got the shot of Colette Quilt. She is a new member only almost a year ago, not quite a year ago. And she wanted to do something for the club, so she said, hey, I am a quilter. Let me do something, and maybe we could raffle this off someday. So that's what she's working on now. It's about all done. Not quite. And as you can see, some of the contributors, and there's one of Mr. Heil, shirts. I know it doesn't look like a shirt now, but it was a shirt at one time.
Yeah, those are all T-shirts. What a great idea. What a lot of work. Very, very good. That's cool. All right.
Thank you.
Next
Thank her. Well, this is Colette also. This year, she was all of our members receive a special certificate for membership. It's a pretty one. It's got a picture of the London Bridge. For those who don't know, Lake Havasu is the famous London Bridge one of the biggest bridges around here. And anyway, it was brought over here in 1967. And reconstructed here in Lake Havasu.
That's the actual blocks came from, they took it apart piece by piece, and it brought it down there and put it back together, right?
That's correct. And each one was numbered, and when they got it over here, it took them 3 years to complete the whole project. And that was Mr. McCulloch's way of saying Lake Havasu City is now on the map. Well, this is me, so you don't need to take a picture of that.
Okay.
This is one of the things which my wife does. Her call is K7WZB. She does all the refreshments for every meeting. And this is a refreshment stand for the celebration. Every time we have a class that passes their exams, we have a class. We have the special evening, which we celebrate their passing. And this is one of the tables that's used for all the goodies that my wife, Sharon, provides and prepares.
Great.
Well, this is part of our big, last year, we were started our very first special event called the 25 Lighthouses in the Desert. This is one of the lighthouses, and each of us who were participating in it would go to each of the lighthouses, set up our station, and operate right next at the lighthouse. And we would have people from all over the country trying to work all 25 of them. We didn't get anybody who worked all 25, but we're really, really close. We got somebody got at least 24 of them. But this is one of the sites here at Lake Havasu. So when you get here and after you see the London Bridge, I will take you out on a tour of the 25 lighthouses. Each one of these are a replica of the original. Okay. And that one is just another picture of another celebration, but it's at the club. My wife always takes the theme of that month and makes it kind of special.
That's great.
This is our Christmas party. And what's going on here, that's just part of 50 to 60 people sitting around at the annual Christmas party every year here in Lake Havasu. Another thing important for club members is to have a lot of socialization, and we try it all the time.
Yes, that's amazing. You guys do such a good job.
And these are three of our gals who work the special event, our second special event, which is our older event, which is called the Balloon Fest every year at Lake Havasu in January. And these three are working stations like crazy. It's always amazing what to see when three gals get on the air. The pileups get bigger and bigger and bigger.
That's great. Everybody wants to talk to the gals. Well, these are just
so it's really great.
Of all that you do as a club, and I really appreciate that because clubs need activities, and I really appreciate all that you do there in Lake Havasu. So is there something else coming up real soon that we need to know about? What's the next?
We've got Mr. Heil coming on March 15th as far as by Skype. So that's a big thing. And then at the end of the month, we start, we have our picnic. We have a picnic on March 24th. If you're in the area, stop by. And then that evening, we have a special event called Sprint Contest, where it's all on 2-meter FM and only on Simplex. And then at the end of the month, we start our 10-week session of technician class for a number of individuals who signed up. This club, basically, I was just going to say, the club is really a great club. We have good members. Our board members are terrific, and they're all part of making this organization work like clockwork.
Well, I really appreciate you sending all that and telling us about it and spending time here. That's really wonderful that that you can keep it going. And amateur radio needs more clubs like this, Gary. So it's good to see you. We'll hear you on the air. I guess we'll see you at Dayton or somewhere. And
we'll see you somewhere.
We catch up occasionally. So thanks for being with us tonight.
All right. We'll all it's a pleasure.
Thank you
for having
so much.
Me tonight.
Thanks for being here.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's great. All right. Well, it's amazing what some of these clubs are doing, and I hope that your club takes a little note of that if you don't have a club that's real active. There are some of the things you can do. And let's see. I think George has a word for us at this point. He's got some contests going, but first, let's have a word from ICOM, and then George will talk us about the contests.
Advanced technology for advanced communications. Communicating has never been more fun than with ICOM. From D-Star to SDR, ICOM uses the most advanced technology in their radios. The SDR you've been asking for is here. ICOM's new IC7610 is a high-performance RMDR with the ability to pick out the faintest signals, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. The new ICOM IC7610 is a direct sampling, software-defined radio that will change the world's definition of a SDR transceiver. RF Direct Sampling System, 110 RMDR, independent dual receivers, and dual digicell. Whether you're looking to enter the world of D-Star or need a backup D-Star portable for your Go kit, the ID31A Plus is the perfect radio. Easy to operate, the ID31A Plus is available in silver, red, or gold. Worldwide communications, share pictures and text messages, and it's IPX waterproof, compact, lightweight, and tough. Find out more about all the great new ICOM radios. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur today.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. While you're there, learn how you can win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a brand new radio. And we have a winner for February. It's the ID51A Plus 2 VHF UHF D-Star Portable. Extended D-Star coverage, terminal mode, access point mode. You can send and receive pictures, send and receive text messages. Set the transceiver's DR functions from the RSMS-1A or a map application. You can see the location of repeater sites or other DPRS stations on a map app. You can view and export received history of the transceiver, view detailed data in the transceiver's repeater list, and a lot more. So the lucky winner for February is Rodney W4NNF. Congratulations, Rodney. ICOM is going to be getting that out to you right away. And for March, we've got another one. We're going to give away another ICOM ID 51A plus 2. Now, mine here is the 50th anniversary edition. 51A plus 2 is enhanced over this one slightly. Really nice features. These radios just keep getting better and better. I love this one right here myself. And with the free Android application, it really makes it simple to operate. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. After this and each episode of Ham Nation, sign up, register to win. Good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. Right here behind me, you can see I've got one of those new IC7610s that they've all been talking about here recently. Tommy and I just shot a video along with Ray Novak on this rig. It's available now if you want to watch it. You go to ICOM America's YouTube page, and you'll find it right there. We went really in-depth on this rig, like we did on all the other ones we've done in the past. Ray was a real trooper. He had the flu. We took his radios and made him stay in the hotel room and just Skyped him in for it. But we got a good program there, detailed information on that rig. We compared it with the IC7600 and the IC7300 as well, told a little bit about how they were the same and how they were different. So go over to ICOM America's YouTube page. Look right there for the IC7610. Check out the video. I'm sure you're going to enjoy seeing that. And let's see, I got something else to give away here. Well, actually, it's not this one, the one I'm wearing, but we do have a DX Engineering Silkscreen T-shirt for one lucky viewer. And the name of that lucky viewer is Stephen Sherhead, KK6VZE. The question was, what portion of the AC cycle is converted to DC by a full-wave rectifier? And the choices were 90 degrees, 180 degrees, 270 degrees, or 360. Stephen said he was going to take a stab at it and said 360 degrees. And that's correct, Stephen. You know, when you got a full-wave bridge rectifier in there, I should have had a photo here of one or a drawing. You're using both halves of that waveform. So you're using the full 360 degrees rectified AC into DC. So that's a really efficient way to go. Not as cheap as using a single diode or two diodes. You're using four, but you get use of the whole wave with that. So for next week, well, I got another prize here. It's going to be the MFJ 270 Guardian Angel Surge Suppressor. This is one of those gas block surge suppressors. It's got a PL259 on either end. Can take up to 1,500 watts on some models. It's got a little gas tube protector in it. If you get a surge over a certain voltage point, which is higher than the voltage you normally see on the coax, it'll flash over. You connect a ground to it and send that surge right onto ground. These work really great, MFJ 270 surge suppressor. If you'd like to win that, I've got a very simple question that everyone here tonight should be able to answer. And we'll do a random drawing and see who wins. I want to know, who is the Hamvention Amateur of the Year for 2018? If you think you know the answer to that, send it to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could be next week's lucky winner. Now, I'll be at the Rain Hamfest this coming weekend. That's the Arcadia Amateur Radio Association. I think that's the name of the club. Rain Hamfest in Rain, Louisiana, right in the middle of Cajun country. Tommy and I are going there. We're looking forward to a big time there. It's going to be a lot of other folks there, too. Emil, KE5QKR, the cheapo man from Amateurlogic, will be there as well. I think Don said he wasn't going to be able to make it this year, but that's okay, Don. We will have...
It's the Acadiana,
for you.
Acadiana Amateur Radio Association.
Acadiana, okay.
Acadiana,
You know, being from Mississippi, I didn't know how to pronounce that. I'm glad you
know
that.
You know what they're famous for? They're famous for the Friday night Fado Dough and Crawfish Boil, where they have live Cajun music and hot-boiled crawfish. That's what they're famous for. And I'm sick. I'm not going to be able to make it this year. But I lucked up and got my wife concert tickets to go see Luke Bryan. So, you know, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah. Tommy and I signed up, registered for the crawfish boil there. And we're really looking forward to it. Although neither one of us eat crawfish, I'm not sure how that's going to work out yet.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it.
Yeah. We'll have to see. If anyone's got any questions in the chat room there for any of the hosts on the show tonight, just drop me a message right there in the chat room. Put W5JDX-George at the first of your message, so it'll pop up and it'll be easy for me to find here. We're going to ask the people here at the end, but I got to be honest, I don't think I am drawing nearly as many questions as Amanda usually does. So we need to get with it now. Y'all help me out here. And now, Bob, you have you been back to the woodpile?
Yep. Yep. But I first, before I get into some of that, I have just a pile of letters and things, and I want to answer a couple of them because it might help everybody else too, isn't it? I got a letter today from John Herleman, and he wanted to know about making up an RF tap for a for your scope. Well, we did that a long time ago. You remember? You can go back and search it. But we took the little box and we made a real simple RF tap that you can tap out some RF off of the line and plug your computer into it. So we've already covered that, John, but it is in the archives. If you can't find it, drop me a line and we'll get something going. Help you. You remember Dave Jennings, WJ6W? He's the guy. He's been on here a couple times. Been some years ago. He's the guy that has a ham radio station that looks exactly like his college radio station in Iowa when he was going to college. He's a broadcast engineer, both he and his wife. And he sent me this note, and it said he had a great 40-meter contact with W8VG near Tucson on his Pineboard transmitter. He was a little noisy, but Q5 all the way. It was a real thrill for both of us to work each other with his 5 watts. I was running a Collins 32V2. His audio is with a mixer. And this is something we want to talk a little bit about. Instead of building the preamp, he got so excited that he wanted to get it on the air. You can take a mixer if you have a Behringer or any kind of a mixer, and you can take the output of that through a little transformer and it'll drive the audio of the 6V6. So you don't have to build that if you don't want to. But George, W8VG, he's going to build it because then he'll have a little more control over it. Great, great thing. L.A. to Tucson, Pineboard. I got some really nice pictures from Peter. He's building a receiver. I know. I get a lot of guys saying, when's the receiver coming? Well, we're working on it. I got a few more things up in the air before that happens. But I can tell you this, that there are other guys working on getting something like that going, meaning a receiver. So I'll let you know when we get it going. There was another one that came in. This was really a nice project. And again, these guys, these are all seasoned builders, but they love building again. And that's what makes it so much fun for me that these guys are building again. This was a very, very nice setup. And he's just partially finished, did a front panel. And I just compliment you guys. This takes a lot of time. And this is the inside of that. Isn't that cool? And he built a little, and I think he's going to build the rest. So he said the rest of the cabinet. So a lot of things going on there. Got my electric radio. I hope you guys and gals subscribe to this magazine. It's great. Electric radio. Oh my gosh. Talk about projects. It's just wonderful project about old gear, new gear, whatever too. Check it out. Electric radio. But in this, was a picture of a transmitter. Notice what's going on with the coil. You see those taps? That is 75, 40, 20. And the transmitter will work on all those bands. Of course, you have to have the front-end driver doing it, but that's how we do the final band switch. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's what I've been doing. And I'm not finished with it, but I thought, I'll show you just a little bit about what I've been doing here. As you probably can tell, I'm in Pleasant Hope this week, and I won't be here for a little while, but I got started on the project. But, yeah, of course, that looks familiar to you. But I did some changes. Pretty major changes. Everything's the same there, But I put a bigger board underneath the final, and look what happened back here. What we've done, I haven't finished it, as I said, but we're using almost all of the MFJ coil, and in doing that, gives us 160 meters. It will be tapped for 40 meters and 75 meters, but here's going to be a band switch. So we'll be able to have a band switch and, of course, plate tune, and it'll be completely band switched for those three bands, and we'll use the whole coil. So I'll get that working. I should have it done in another week to 2 weeks. Transmitters remain the same. In fact, I took this, believe it or not, I took this whole thing and lifted it off the other board and put on this larger board, and bingo, here we are. I wonder if I'm going to be able to do this. And I did. The only thing I got hanging back there is a couple of wires that will be used for the relay. And, of course, the relay system will be The relay system will be placed in here. So it'll all be ready to go, and we'll have some fun. But it works really well. I had it working on 160 night before. So, gosh, it just continues to be more fun. I hear more and more of them on the air. That's what really pleases me, that people are actually using them. They're not just building to say, oh, I built this. They're using them. So we're having a lot of fun. I had one other situation which was interesting. Virginia in Texas, she's had trouble with her power supply. They'd send it to me, and I got into it the other day. The darn transformer's bad. I don't know. The center tap is not center tapped. It's off center. I don't know if something shorted in there, and it wasn't her. That's a transmitter. The transformer is bad. So they got a new one coming and warrantied, of course. So there again, you got to check these parts just because they're new, or maybe if they're old out of the junk box, got to check them and make sure. Well, I'll tell you, somebody doesn't have to check too much about her work, and that's Valerie. Jolly, again, congratulations on this great thing. I really look forward. You're going to have a wonderful Dayton. And I'm proud to say that I had a little bit to do with bringing you up in front of all of us, and we're much better for it. So have fun.
Well, you had a lot to do
that.
You had a lot to do with it, Bob. This hobby has been very life-changing for me. You know, Ham Nation, going to Puerto Rico, and even just going with my son to Hurricane Harvey in Texas, and more importantly, meeting Jerry. This hobby really has changed my life, and it made me a more outgoing person too. So that's good. But let's get started with this week's DX report. If you want to start that off, Victor. Coming up right now, I think we got Rotumas going on, 3D2E Echo Uniform. And somebody did ask in the chat room, that is its own DXCC entity. That's going on. You can go the next one, too. That's going on now through March 16th. So you only got about 10 more days, 9 more days. Wow. And you can kind of see where it is there. It's east of Australia and Papua New Guinea, kind of in the middle of nowhere, where all those little islands are. Next, DX. I actually worked this guy. X-ray Echo 1 Bravo is over there on Revila Gigido, and that's for Bravo, and that is pretty high up on the most wanted, so you gotta want to work this guy. He's only doing sideband, but he's doing 160 through 10. Not sure if he's going to do 6, but I think I have another slide there. There's a little set of islands there, and he's on Socorro. So make sure you get four Bravo in your log, because the first time it was four Alpha, that was 2011, or late 2010, early 2011. I didn't start DXing till May, so I missed out on it that time. And next slide is Easter Island. That one's going on now. through the 15th, and that's X-ray Radio Zero Yankee Delta. I have one more slide on that, too. Big team going on there. Lots of nice antennas. They're very loud here. So make sure you get those guys in the log. And then coming up any minute now, the 9 Mike Zero Whiskey. Now, they were supposed to fly over there yesterday. Their flight got delayed. They were going to be there this morning, and then I was going to have them live on the show today, but their flight got delayed again, so they could be just landing. You can see it's basically a resort and a landing strip. That's all on this island. The rest is pretty much reef, and there's another slide. It's a very nice hotel that they're staying at there. As a matter of fact, Jerry went there. Well, that's where they were before flying out at a restaurant, but Jerry went there. Gosh, when did you go there, Jerry? 2001, he went there, stayed at that very hotel. Not a lot of space for beverage antennas. Hopefully they'll be able to hear nicely on 160 because the runway is right there. That should be a really nice de-expedition, and hopefully those guys are going to get on the air within the next 24 hours, let's hope. So, and that's all I've got for DX this week. But I did want to bring up some other stuff here. I just got this when I came home from work today. This was waiting for me, and this is he who cycled. And I don't know if you remember Tom, Oscar Zulu 1 Alpha Alpha from Denmark, Tom Anderson. We had him on the show live from Dayton one year. He's the ham radio operator that cycled around the globe. Well, he just finished his book. I can't wait to read it. He's got some great pictures after each. He has a chapter for each continent he went to. So, like, this is after Australia. Some nice pictures in there. And I can't wait to read this. But if you're interested in getting this, you can go to cyclingtheglobe.com. That's his website, and get that book. We also just got this book in. Ham Radio is Alive and Well. Now, this is for the new ham or even the seasoned ham. Gary, really good ham, says that anybody's going to at least find one thing of value in here, even the very seasoned ham. So this is going to be a great book if you want to gift it to somebody or read it for yourself. And then speaking of magazines, Bob, this is what I get. I know you get the builder ones. I get the contest ones. I love the contest journal. It's not a lot of ads. Our great friend Scott, K0MD, is now the editor of this magazine. But I love, they have a little pistols page for all you little pistols out there who like to contest. And I love contest tips and tricks. Yeah, I love, you know, so it's got some really good reading, and then they always have the scores in the back, the winners from the contests and stuff like that. So this is a great magazine if you're just getting your feet wet into contesting. This might be a nice thing to do. It's $25 a year to get this, so pretty good bargain. Next, I just want to kind of quickly go impromptu because I lost my guest for the night. I wanted to kind of talk about QSL cards. It's been a few years since I did this, and some of you may be new to the hobby. So once you get out there and start contesting and DXing, you're probably going to start to get nice little stacks of cards in from the bureau. And so what are you going to do with these? Or you're going to get direct cards in the mail directly from them to you instead of in a package like this from the bureau. So what you're going to need to do once you start DXing and contesting, getting on HF, is you're going to need to get some QSL cards. You can go anywhere. I know Amanda does these. I get mine from Randy, KB3IFH. He does my cards. But and then you kind of have to just, they're going to, you just have to look in your log and you kind of fill it out. I'll put this here. Certain things you need. You need the date. You need the time in UTC. You need the band or frequency, and you need to give them your mode, your signal report. And up here, this actual box is for if you have to go through a QSL manager, that's where you put their call, so it would go to him to let them know that you're QSLing. And then at the bottom, it's going to ask you if you want to get a, if you're like, say you worked a country and you want to get confirmation, you have to send them a card, and you're usually going to have to send them IRCs or green stamps, because some of these people who work from these rare entities, and they may be running 150, 200 people an hour, and if they're from a rare country in Africa, it's going to bankrupt them if they have to send all these cards to everybody for free. So that's why you want to at least cover their postage, the cost of their cards, their envelopes, things like that. So most of them require two or three green stamps. So when you go to their web, their QRZ page, they'll usually tell you if they use a QSL manager, or if you can send it direct, or if you can go through the bureau, which is the cheapest way to do it. But if you want to get a card quickly and you want to send it direct, then you want, or even through the bureau, if you want a card back, you want to circle the PSE, please QSL. That means that you want them to send you a card back. If they sent you a card and you're just sending them a back, then you just hit the TNX, thanks. So they don't have to send you a card back. And then what you do is you get, they look the same. Here, I'll put them up here. These are my airmail envelopes, but if you notice, one's a little bit bigger than the other. See that? And so you can put one inside the other. Now, I get November 2, MikeZuluZulu.com sells these. So you can sell the inner and the outer, you know, so to speak. That's William Plum. He'll sell these. He's a ham. And what you do is you obviously put your address. And then I put my address up in the upper. So I always get labels because it really goes a lot faster when you have labels. So I'll address it to myself, from myself. And then I put my QSL card in, the envelope they're going to send back to me. But before I do, I write my call sign on that envelope. And I'll show you why in a second. But I'll put my card in there. And I'll say he requires three green stamps. It's not good to send cash through the mail, but sometimes it's unavoidable because they'll only take green stamps. So you put a few bucks in there. And it's got your call sign there. And the reason it has that is when they get this envelope and they pull this one out and they pull your card out of here and they write you a new card, they might not remember which QSL card goes with it, which envelope. Because a lot of people's QSL cards don't have their names on them. They just have a call sign, but your envelope just has your name on it. So they might not be, then they have to go look it up on QRZ, see what your name is and find the right envelope. So it's just a lot easier for them in case they do separate from each other that they know which envelope. So I always do that as a little trick. And then when I put this in here, I put it in upside down because if I put it in this way and it's in there, when they come through with their little letter opener, it could accidentally rip this one open too. So I just put this one in upside down. Seal it off, address it to them, stamp with the international stamp and mail it off. So it's real easy for him to send me a card back. He's got enough money to help pay for it and all is well. Now, if you can do the bureau, if you can wait for the bureau or they only want to get it back by the bureau, that's really easy. You fill all your cards out. And when you're done and you're ready to send them to the bureau, you're probably going to want to let them stack up because you have to pay a $6 fee and then a wait charge. So the more cards you have, that $6 wait charge gets distributed, you know, a lot easier. You know, over more cards than just a couple of cards. If you're sending two cards off and it's $1.18 for the first, you know, ounce, and then $6, you're paying $7.15 for two cards versus if you do 100, $7.18 for 100, it's a lot cheaper. So you fill them all out and then you put them into country code prefix. So Germany is Delta Lima, so that's D. Japan is Juliet Alpha, so that would come after the Delta Lima. The England is a G normally, but there you'll find some M's that are England. So you need to put the M's with the G's because the G is the main country code prefix. Now you can go online and pull up the country code prefixes to help you figure out which ones they go in, and then you put that in country code prefix, alphabetical order, put it into a box or an envelope along with proof that you're an ARRL member, because to use the bureau, you do need to be an ARRL member, any level, and then you have to pay your rate. Now, hang on, let me show you the rates. Okay. And so it's $1.15 an ounce plus $7. I'm sorry, I had it wrong. $7. So if you had a pound and a half of cards, about 225 cards, it's going to be $34. But divide that by 225, it's still the better deal. But if you only did two cards, you know, you're going to pay $8.15 for two cards. So that's not the better deal. So it's always best to let that stack up and, you know, before you send them all off to the bureau. So hopefully that helps you guys a little bit. That's all I've got. And I did want to say hi, Gary. Thanks. It's nice seeing you on the show. Jerry and I got to meet Gary when we went to Visalia back in 2013. So I'm going to head it over to our chat room guy, George.
Okay, Val. Thanks for that. And yeah, Amanda's not here tonight. She's feeling under the weather. So we wish her well, and hopefully she'll be back with us next week, back in full swing again. But for tonight, you're stuck with me. And I do have a few questions here that I collect through the night.
I thought everyone was
through the night. At first, I thought they were all being saved for Amanda next week, but a few did trickle by. This first one's for Don. It's from Jim, and Don, he wants to know, you hadn't figured out if Dr. Scove is really a Japanese robot being evaluated by DARPA? Any answer on that, Don?
No, I have met Dr. Scove a couple of times, had lunch with her, her husband, and her lovely daughter, and she is definitely not a robot. Definitely not a robot. And I'd like to compliment you, George, on the blue color on your monitor back there with your call sign. I see it matches my shirt, which we didn't plan that. It's serendipity that it did that, and it's a lovely shade of blue. I like it particularly because it brings out the red in my eyes.
Yes, it really does, and it gives you that patriotic look.
Yes, exactly.
Red, white,
thank you.
And blue.
Yeah. Yes.
I've got another one for you, Don. You were talking about car problems last week. What make and year is your car that you're having problems with?
It's a 2001 Firebird, a 2001 Pontiac Firebird V6, and I'm still having problems with it. It stranded me at the gas station last week. Last Wednesday night, as a matter of fact. I stopped on the way home to fill it up, and it wouldn't start. I had to leave it there, and I went back to get it after Ham Nation, and luckily it started up. Same thing tonight. It's an intermittent electrical problem, probably in and around the relays. Turn the key on, and the starter will not engage. And it's intermittent. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And it's been a hassle this week, so hopefully when my wife takes me back over to the gas station, which is 13 miles away, hopefully it'll start up tonight, because I don't really want to have to call AAA and wait 2 hours for them to bring a wrecker out and drag it 13 miles to my house. I could probably push it 13 miles in 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, I had the same problem. We had a rodent that got into all our wiring and was having fun with all the wiring in our car.
I have history of that too. I've had mice get into a Volkswagen that we had, and of course, rather famously, I had something eat my spark plug wires until I started parking it in the garage. And there's a known issue with some of those. There's some bad grounds. The car is, it's a 2001, so do the math. It's 17 years old, and it has 218,000 miles, and it gets 125 miles of daily driver. 125 miles a day of daily driver use to and from New Orleans. So, you know, anything, it could be anything. But hopefully we'll be replacing that car soon, hopefully within the next week or so, I hope. Fingers crossed. So anyway, there you go.
Yeah. Well, good luck on that. I had similar intermittent problem, just like you're describing there.
Yeah.
It was with the transmitter. It ended up being the 4CX 15,000, Don.
Oh,
so
I hate
if it's
when
got
happens.
One of those in it.
No, I don't think it does.
It can appear to work good, and then it could have a bad grid connection inside of it. Just keep that in the back of your mind.
All
Bob, I got one for you. Has anyone organized a pine board net yet at a regular time?
I know that some are, but they're down in the one I know about it down in North Carolina, and they're planning up in Fairbanks. I was on Skype with them last week, and there's something up there. They had about 50 guys in their meeting the other night in Fairbanks, but they're all getting hip. I can't tell you exactly, but I do know there are some out there. I'll start trying to listen a little harder and see if we can find some specific times. But there are a lot of AM nets. In fact, that's why you do electric radio. They have a whole page in the back of AM nets, and you could get in with not only pine board, but there's a lot of QRP type things and vintage gear. So that would be another place. But I can't tell you exactly where the pine board nets are. I know where there's one. It's every morning, MOCAM. That's the net here in southeast Missouri, but it's Kansas, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Illinois, Missouri, this whole central part of the United States. 9 o'clock every day, weekday at 3885. And there's quite a few guys running low power, and that's where this all started for me with Richard, W0BVT. So we'll give you some more information as it comes along.
Okay. Good deal there. We'll be looking forward to it. I know even if people don't have a pine board transmitter themselves, they'd still like to listen to them and hear some of them on the air.
Yeah.
Fun there.
Always amazed like how good they sound. Oh, my. It's really amazing how good they do sound, because a lot of those projects don't sound very good, but we're fortunate. But it's all because of that preamp with the equalizer in it. Works
yep.
great.
You got to have a good modulator section, and it's exactly. or else garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly. I noticed a question on the chat room a while ago about what somebody said. This wasn't a Heil mic. Oh, yeah, it is. It's the new one. It's just a PR77, and it's just hitting the market, and it's quite sensational. Already have a bunch of broadcast stations using it, and it's really something. So I'm pretty proud. It took me a couple years to do it, but it's there, the PR77 David.
It looks as good as it sounds, and it really does sound good. I had a question here that came from Jeff to me. He was asking about a full-wave loop antenna. Should he use a 4-to-1 balun, ferrite bead, choke balun, both or neither? He seems to find conflicting information on the internet. Well, I run a full-wave loop on 80 meters here myself, and that's a pretty much a 50-ohm antenna, so you wouldn't think you'd want to put a 4-to-1 balun on it, because it's not a 200-ohm antenna. I have used ferrite beads on mine when I first put it up. I put a number of them right below the feed point on it, trying to suppress some RFI coming back on the coax. It might have done a little good on that. Later, though, I replaced it with a 1-to-1 balun, since I've got 50-ohm feed line on that, and it's a 50-ohm antenna, and that seemed to do a little better. So I don't think it's a 4-to-1 balun, though. I wish Gordo was here. We'd ask him that question. And another question I would ask Gordo, but he's not here, so Val, you're nominated. How do you know what type of propagation you're experiencing when you're on HF or 6 meters?
Well, I keep the I can't remember what the website is up for 6 meters, and I'm in the 6 meter chat, so I'll know when it's open. I should probably have the radio on with a beacon, so I hear when it's up and rolling. I also belong to a bunch of reflectors, and everybody's really active. As soon as something opens up, that comes out, so it gives me a warning that it's open. Because you never know with 6 meters when it's going to open, when it's going to. It was just open the other day. As a matter of fact, I think it was Friday. I think people were reporting that it was open. So that's what I do. So I know when it's open. I know it'd be nice to just keep a rig on all the time on a 6 meter beacon somewhere. But you never know when it's going to open and where it's going to open. So I follow. I can't even think of the website. I can't remember the website, but if you put in 6 meter spot, it shows who's working who. You see all the red lines, and you can see where the 6 meters is open to what part of the country or the world. Threw me for a loop on this one. Let me try and find it. But 6 meter spots. N3TUQ. I use November 3 Tango Uniform Quebec. And I keep that up when there's any possibility 6 meters will be open.
Yeah.
Was that the question?
Sort of. That's in the ballpark. I think he was wanting to know, how would you know what type of propagation you're experiencing on 6 meters? You know, it might be a temperature inversion.
If it's sporadic here. Yeah.
A sporadic key. And I don't know how you'd know the difference between the two.
I wouldn't know. You know, difference. I mean,
yeah,
they're coming in and then they're not and then they're coming in. I really don't know the difference, a way to tell the difference between the two. That is probably a better Gordo question.
Yep.
Maybe you know the difference out of town on the radio?
There's no. Who cares problem. When it's open? It's open in 6 meters.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's all the questions for tonight. I do have a little info on the nets tonight. There'll be a 40-meter net going on at 71.92. We'll have a 75-meter net tonight on 39.08. Of course, we've got the digital nets. Do drop in for Echolink at star, do drop in star, or node number 355-800. And we've also got the D-Star net. That's Reflector 14, Module C. And the DMR net is at TAC 311. So that's all I got here for tonight, guys. Thanks for letting me sit in for Amanda. I think her job is secure. I got through it, but, you know, I think we want her back.
Fine. I feel the same way when I do it. She does such a good job. I'm not worthy. Yeah.
It makes it look easy. That's for sure.
I hope that she gets to feeling better, because that's tough, not feeling good.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody. Well, we've had a lot of fun here, brought you lots of information, and we'll all be back here next Wednesday. So share all this great information of where we are and when we are with your friends, so we can have more people join us. And there's always a growing audience here, and we thank very much the all of the people at TWiT to keep things going. Victor, thank you. We thank Leo Laporte, and we'll see you all back here next week on Ham Nation. In the meantime, get on the air and have fun. Bye-bye for now. This is K9EID.
Bye.